I love coming to church. Hallelujah. I was thinking the other day, church is more than just an activity that I belong to. It's my life. Amen? It's my life. I thought it was so hilarious growing up how folks couldn't understand why ladies would take off of work to cook at a camp. Couldn't understand why I would use vacation time to go to other places, youth rallies, getaways. But I tell you, I don't regret it. Choosing Jesus was the best thing I ever did. The reason we learned today, this morning, that we can choose Him is because He first chose us. Amen. We can love Him because He first loved us and He gave Himself for us. I'm just glad to know who Jesus is tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know who Jesus is and that He is my Savior. Amen. I'll say that again. He is my Savior. Amen. He's not a figment of my imagination. He's not a God that I made up. He's not a God made by hands. He's not a God made of stone or of wood or of any other built thing, but He is the God of all ages. And He's my God. He's my friend. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can serve Him tonight. And I've got a burden on my heart tonight. And it's a burden that keeps me awake at night. It's a burden that I have for our young people. And I want you to know we have the best young people in all the world. Amen. I thought you'd have been a little louder, youth group, on that. We've got great parents. We've got parents and that support, parents that give, grandparents that give, grandparents that love. But tonight I've got a burden. Thank you, Brother Michael. That has been upon my heart for some time. I've said many times, and I'll say it again tonight, I don't like to be a policeman. I don't think it's the pastor's job to drive down the street and check up on you and make sure you're living right. Nor is it Brother Brian's job to go to every school, go to every job, and make sure that you're living like a Christian ought to. The only time that I get with our young people is when we gather here for ministry or for fun. But although we may not always be physically present with them, our hearts burn to see God do amazing things in their lives. But one of the things that comes along with working with them is to see and to be mindful of the realities that face them every day. Just this year, having had the job that I have and being able to go into the school systems, my heart has been changed, and a new burden has been placed upon it again, or a fresh burden, I should say, for God to do a work in this generation. And I believe that it not only starts with Sister Sarah and myself, but it starts with our parents, it starts with our grandparents, it starts with those who may not have children, but just love young people and want to see God do the great things in their life. It starts with us tonight. Getting a fresh burden, fresh fire, fresh faith for our young people to see God do amazing things in their lives. Tonight I'm going to preach, I don't believe it's unlike any other sermon I've ever preached, but it's something that I see coming against our young people, not only here, but across the nation. And so tonight, I don't know if I am preaching defensively or offensively, but I just want to preach tonight on be a Christian outside of church. Be a Christian outside of church. It's amazing to me how the generation that we live in today live seemingly a double life throughout their existence. We have the Christian young person who, when the songs are moving fast and when the preacher's preaching, they seem to be able to get in, to worship, to lift their hands. They're excited when they're around their other Christian young people. They feel the joy of the Lord. They seem to be on top of the mountain. But that same young person, not just a few days after an experience with God, is battling a fresh battle in their life, or they are up against a new trial, or they seem to be in another valley, or they're in a place where they've just sinned and they said they never do it again. But you see, we are battling something that we have never battled before. It's a fresh attack on this generation. It's a fresh experience that is coming against them. And tonight I want to preach, amen, the burden of my heart that we must be Christians outside of the church. It doesn't do anything to live for God in here and to rebuke Him out there. It's time to be a Christian all the way till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I want to preach tonight on being a Christian outside of the church. And it's going to affect three areas of your life, young people. It's going to affect your walk with the Lord. It's going to affect your witness with your friends. And it's going to affect your worship when you enter into this house. Amen. Be a Christian outside of the church. If we could stand tonight, we're going to begin reading in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. The book of Romans, chapter number 6. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have a say, amen. Glory to God. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Could we all read these next two words together? God forbid. I want to do that again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Hallelujah. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That's not physical death. That is a spiritual dying to the old way of living. He that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. Have you been freed tonight from the sin that was your slave master? I've been set free. Verse 17 says in the same chapter, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Amen. I want to preach again tonight. Be a Christian outside of church. Hallelujah. Would you pray for me tonight and for our young people? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And God, this week I have dwelt in your presence. And God, the burden of my heart, Lord, I feel is your heartbeat tonight. God, I pray your word would go forth and not return void. Father, I pray you would speak to every heart, young, old, oh God, no matter who it is tonight, that our lives would reflect Christ no matter where we are, no matter who we're around, no matter what we're up against, God, that we would reflect Jesus Christ as our master. Father, I thank you that you set me free from the sin that bound me. And God, you are my master today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, do mighty works around these altars. We will give you the praise for it, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Be a Christian outside of church. The Bible says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. This morning I was preaching on how that because of God's love, He forgave us. He saved us. He changed us. Amen. It'll be 12 years this June, Brother Brad, when I became a Christian at Southern Ohio. And reflecting back upon these 12 years, I've been through battles, and I know that battles will continue. I have been through struggles, Brother Jerry. I've seen my fair share of heartache, but I can say with full confidence that I have served it all with Jesus. Jesus, and it's been the greatest journey that I've ever known. Amen. I look back upon these, it seems so fast, young people, having been able to serve Jesus, and how it has been the greatest experience of my life. He will take you places you could have never been without Him. He'll do things in your life that you thought were never possible. When you serve Jesus, it'll be the greatest adventure that you've ever known. And yet when I think back upon this time, I can see friends that I walked with, friends that I worshiped with, friends that I knew and worshiped God around the altar. We shouted, we prayed, we cried, we witnessed, and yet I look around and see that friend by friend seem to be falling away. What is this thing that we are up against? Why are we seeing multitudes turning their back upon the Lord in this last hour? It's because we're up against a battle. The book of Matthew chapter 24 said that because sin will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And we are seeing in these last days, young people, young men and young women who loved God at one time, turning their back and turning their heart away from Him to the detriment of their own souls. In the Bible it says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Does anybody have issues tonight? I didn't know if that would go over or not. I got issues. I've got issues. We've all got issues. Because we're human. I don't know any one of us that have ascended yet to where we don't have to fight the battle or the enemy. Especially young people. Roadies, you're at a volatile age right now in your walk with God. You're at a place in your life where everyone wants your attention. The song that our sister sang tonight, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I love that song. Every time I hear it, Brother Steve, I think of Brother Canner and hear that man of God sing. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather have Him more than houses or land or the fame of the world. You see, right now, young people, every marketing agency wants you. Every advertisement agency wants you. They want your attention. They want your money. They want you hooked to their product. They want you. Why do they want you? Because of how valuable you are. And it doesn't just stop with the physical realm. God wants you. God wants you because He knows that there is something that only you can do in your school system. God wants you because He knows that you've got the energy to go and to go and to go. And when others of us want to stop, you keep going and you keep going. But at the same time that God wants you, the enemy also would love to come by and ravage your life and destroy you. You see, he wants you as well. He wants you to be in the gutter. He wants you to be in the street. He wants you to be addicted. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants you to be impure. He wants you to be without God. I know tonight that the Bible said that when we were saved, we took upon a new nature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God doesn't make secondhand stuff. He makes you brand new. You have been changed by an almighty God. The same Creator that gave you life is the same one that gave your spiritual man life. He is the one that has given you a new nature. But this relationship with Him, this walk with Him, young people, I know that it seems like today is really the only important day. And sometimes it's hard for us to view down the future road or to see down the path later on in life. But if we can understand today from Brother Brian, your walk with God is the most important thing in your life. It is more important than your summer job. It's more important than your relationship with others. It's more important than anything in this world. It's your walk with God. We walk in newness of life. Didn't the psalmist say, He has put a new song in my mouth? He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon the rock. Amen. Do we have any young people that are saved here tonight? Would you just wave your hand at me so I know I'm preaching in the right area? Praise God. We have been saved tonight. And that spiritual walk with God, I said before, is the greatest adventure you'll ever know. It is a walk that will sustain you. It is a walk that will keep you. It is a walk that will take you all the way to glory. Walking with God. But let us be reminded tonight that sin will separate us from God. If we sin willfully and continuously, that sin will drive a wedge between you and your master. It will become your master again. Nobody had to tell me how to sin. I was a sinner. We are all sinners until we are saved by God's grace. Nobody has to teach us, but young people, that old man that we buried when we became a Christian, it is constantly wanting to get up out of that grave. It is constantly wanting to be your master again. It is constantly wanting to entrap you back in the same habits, back in the same desires, back in the same lust. It wants a hold of you again, and we must continuously kill that old flesh every day. Amen. We are to be pure in all areas of our life, young people. Hear me tonight. We are to be pure in all areas of our life. What does it mean to be a Christian anyway? If I say he's a Buddhist, what does that mean? He serves Buddha. He follows after the god Buddha. If you claim to be a Christian, do you know the weight and responsibility that that statement is? That is saying you are a follower of Christ. And it's even more than what the Buddhists have, because Jesus said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're not only followers, we are living in Jesus Christ. And that walk that we have with Him, we are to be pure in all areas of life because Jesus Himself is pure. The Bible said we are to be holy as He is holy. What are some areas of life, young people, that we need to be pure in? I want you to listen to me tonight. I feel so strongly tonight the danger that our young people are up against in these last days. Obviously, I am not against technology. I love it, okay? I believe in it and use it to the furthering of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Sidewalk Sunday School is better with a PA system. Can I get an amen? I believe that technology itself is a tool. But the dangers that are out there, parents, are so great that we are seeing a wave of sin enter into our churches like never before. I'm not talking about PowerPoint on the walls. We can debate that later. I am talking about using what is available to our young people, using what is presently there as a means of the enemy infiltrating their minds, infiltrating their hearts, infiltrating their spirit. It is captivating young men at its will. It is transforming young women who once would have been a godly a woman of God and a wife that would have been pure, but it is captivating their hearts. Let us not put our heads in the sand and suppose that we are the only church that is exempt from the attack of the enemy. We are up against a battle tonight, and we must be aware that the enemy is still out to destroy. He's still out to cut down, amen. He's still out to make their lives a miserable wreck. And it only takes one time. It only takes one sin. It only takes one choice. It only takes one mistake from a young person to change the course of their existence. But if we, amen, as the church of God, can rally again around them and lift them up above the shadows, amen, we can help them make it all the way. An area of life that we must be pure in, our communication. Listen. Holiness is not a religion, it is a lifestyle. And if we are to be the true church of God, we are to be holy in our communication. The way that we talk, the way that we text, the way that we email, the way that we instant message, the way that we, when we're out on dates, the conversations that we're talking about, the relationships, we are to be holy. Just like He is holy. I know there are temptations out there, young people. I'm not this far removed from being a teenager myself. But God has required us to be holy as He is holy. And our communication is one of the major areas that youth pastors across the nation are seeing the enemy get a hook in our kids. I talked to a youth pastor in another state just last week. He said, "Brother Brian, I'll be honest with you. I never talked about it because I never thought it would happen here. But three of our young ladies, three, and this is not a huge church, three of the youth members were caught texting inappropriately to other young men and other young ladies. Do not think that it is not far from any one of us. For the Bible said, take heed lest you fall." Parents, tonight, I want to warn you to cancel the internet subscription. And if you have to, cancel the text messaging. Because it is a danger that we are facing out here today. There is no call for a 12-year-old to be in their room at 3 in the morning texting a young man across at another school. There is no business for them to be in the message room. There is no place for them to be in the chat room. It is a trap of the enemy to destroy them. Young people, I'm not harping on you tonight. I am warning you that if you dabble in those things, it will not take you long to be hooked by the enemy. It is one time and your purity is gone. It is one conversation and you are done. It is one experience and you will forever be different. God help us tonight. I am not ignorant enough to say that your young people don't need to communicate with you, parents. Please hear my burden tonight. I know that we are out sometimes in late hours and we have them call you and they have every right. You have every right as a parent to have full communication with your children. Hear Brother Brian and I. But there are some young people. Let me preface that. There are a lot of young people who have been given responsibilities that they are not equipped to handle. They are not spiritually mature enough. They are not ready to handle when another young person is texting them and they don't know what to do and they're embarrassed because they think they're going to get in trouble. So they don't come to you and they don't come to me and they just think I can deal with it myself. They are not equipped to handle certain things in life until they're older. And listen, we cannot get caught up in what the world says they must have. I made it every day of my life until I drove a car without a cell phone, and by God, I can make it again. I know it's a convenience, but if they are not ready, they should not have it. Listen, I'm not trying to offend anyone tonight. I'm preaching what God would have us to hear tonight. We are battling things in our youth group that some parents have no idea that their children are facing. Brother Brian and Sister Sarah don't know. Brother Hirsch doesn't know, but God knows. And if we do not do something now, we will face the consequences later. Help us, God. We're to be pure in our minds, young people. I'll move off of technology. But before I do, I got to say one more thing. Young people, do not think that you are bigger than the devil. Because as soon as you think you've got a handle on it, you will hit the floor. There are stories after stories of young people who sat in this church who thought they were fine without God. And their walk with the Lord was over like that. If you love God, make Him priority number one. Make that walk number one. Another area we're to be pure in is our minds. This is another battlefield that the enemy is using against our young people. We are infiltrated on every area or in every area of our existence by visual, auditory. We are throughout all of the day, there is noise. There is something that you have to have in front of you, young people. And that effect on your mind, there's a reason that we preach against music that is not Christian music. It's because it stays here. There's a reason that we believe we are to be sanctified in what we watch on television or on the internet. It's because it stays in our minds. And young people, it will never. It will never. Can I have some parents say, it will never. It will never leave your mind. If you watch it, it'll be there. If you listen to it, you'll hear it. If you do it, you will forever have it stamped in your memory. God would have us to be pure in our thoughts, to be pure in our minds. And God will give us the ability to do so. He will help us, young people. There are times that you just need to turn it off and allow God to minister to you. Some of the reasons that our kids are constantly walking around with bad attitudes and sour spirits is because of what they are taking in to their thought process 24 hours a day. God, help us to purify our minds. Philippians 4 verse 8. My mother quoted this to us almost every day. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about why the other youth member got mad at you. Don't think about the gossip. Don't think about the struggle. Don't think about the young man or the young woman. Think about God and He will lift you up. Hallelujah. Titus 1 verse 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. God gave you a spiritual meter. Do you know that? God gave you a spiritual barometer right here in your heart, called your conscience. And when we sin willfully, every time we sin willfully, that conscience is seared. It's like taking a hot coal and putting it on your flesh. You're going to have a scar there. It's not going to be as sensitive or as beautiful as it was. And when you sin willfully, young people, or even on accident, there's still something that happens inside, that your conscience becomes changed. It's one of the saddest things that we can see in our lives is to see a young child who is pure and innocent have that innocence stripped away. Our workers on Wednesday night could tell you stories after stories of children that come into this building, come into Von Hall, come into the Brock building, whose consciences are seared at 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. Their hearts are hard. It's a tragedy. But if we are not careful, we will allow the enemy to do the very same thing to us, but we think we're okay because we're still sitting on the pew. Our hearts and our minds are to be pure. 1 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is a statistic going or that is prevalent today that depression is incredibly high amongst children now at an alarming rate. Why? Because their minds are not pure. Young people, be pure tonight. The second thing I want to speak about, and I will hurry, is we need to be mindful of our witness, our testimony. God has told us to go and to tell others about Jesus Christ. The book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I want you to look at me tonight, young people, on every eye on me for a second. If you do not tell your friends, if you do not tell your classmates, if you do not tell your family members, or even your coworkers about Jesus Christ, and they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. Your witness is valuable to you. The Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I am so thankful for the testimony that God has given me. Thankful for the heritage God allowed me to have here at this church. When I was at Sinclair, I would be asked constantly if I wanted to go out and drink, if I wanted to go party, other stuff. And I was able to say with confidence, no, I don't want those things. I'd rather have Jesus. But I can still tell you to this day, just the other day, a friend of mine from school wrote me on Facebook and said, Brother Brian, I need you to pray for me because I have a need in my life. That's a testimony. You can make it through your school. You can make it through your job. You can make it through college. You can make it being a Christian. People are watching you. They want to see, why are you different? I know there's something different about you. What is it? What is it? When we think about who we are as Christians, Christ is the difference. And we feel this pressure and this need to satisfy some level of acceptance from the world and some level of acceptance from those who we don't even really want to hang out with, but we just want to be accepted by them. And so we talk like them and we joke like them and we start to dress like them and we start to do the things that they do, all the while knowing that we don't really even want to do them. We just want to be accepted. But it is God that told us that we are a peculiar people. We are to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We're to be different. We are to be separate. We are to touch not the unclean thing. And God said He will receive us if we do this. Your name is valuable to you. I will tell you this. No one wants to be like a hypocrite. That's just simple, church, but no one wants to be like a hypocrite. And if you live like God here in church on Sunday and Wednesday and youth rally, and you live like the devil at school and at church, you're living the life of a hypocrite. But tonight, you can make it right. You can lay those things at the altar and ask God to give you a witness and a testimony. We heard Brother Hurst talk about how God moved on him when he was in school and people got saved and he started witnessing and people got their lives changed. We heard about Brother Snow and how God got a hold of him and he just stood there at his desk and he cried and he talked to the jocks and he talked to the kids who were different about how God wanted to change them, and a revival started there and folks got saved. Listen, God wants to use you. I'm not going to go into your school. I don't have an opportunity to make it in there and preach during gym class. But I tell you, that young person who likes you and who's your friend, and they wonder, why don't you do what I do? And you've got the answers, young people. You've got the witness. You've got what they need from God. And it would be amazing to see what God would do in Union Road if we got young people on fire that started telling others about Jesus Christ. More than just sidewalk Sunday school, more than just youth rally, more than just youth night, I'm talking about telling them about a God who loves them, who understands them, and who wants a relationship with them. Lastly tonight, I want to tell you about how to be a Christian outside of church, how it will affect your worship. I'm not. There's a reason why we don't have the liberty we used to have in our services. I'm not talking about every service, church. I'm talking about when we get into youth camp and everyone's waiting for the next person to get in. And nobody really is able to lift their hands and truly worship with a heart that is humble before our King who saved us. And we can't even get in when the preacher is preaching, when Brother Hurst is preaching, and we've got so many other things on our mind. We can't lift our hands because we're still thinking about what we were texting last night. And so our hands are down here in our heart. We can't lift them because we're so confused about who we are as a Christian and whether or not we really want this. Listen, if you want to be a true man and woman of God, it will affect your worship. If you're telling dirty jokes at school, you will not be able to worship God with a true, sincere heart. If you're telling things to a young man or a young woman that are not of God, you will not be able to lift your hands and serve your God with a full heart and full assurance of faith. You cannot worship Him if you do not have a heart that is pure before Him. It'll affect your worship. It'll affect your praise. It will affect how you really get in and pray. You know, I was thinking about how when I was a child at Camp Dove, it was so easy to just, it felt like you could just march right into the presence of God. I mean, there were times as a camper, I still remember services with Brother Lester and even recently with the Blues, how that it seemed like God Himself, Brother Maggard, stepped down into that tabernacle. And even as a child, I was able to just march right up to my King. But the older I got, the harder it was because there were so many other things on my mind, so many other things on my heart, so many things that I couldn't hardly swim past them to even see the presence of God. If you want to worship, if you want to get in, if you want to be the one to run, if you want to be the one to dance, if you want to be the one to sing, if you want to be the one to shout, we've got to be pure before Him. We've got to live like God outside of church. We've got to be a Christian. I'm not talking about religion, young people. I'm talking about living like Jesus Christ. Just take a mirror with you. See if you see Jesus. Don't do that. I'm just playing. I just wonder if anybody sees Jesus in me sometimes. You ever think about that? Tomorrow when you, Jediah, tomorrow when you go to school, are they going to see Jesus? I believe they are. That ought to be our prayer every morning, young people. Do they see Jesus in me? When I come into this house tonight, am I able to lift my hands without a single feeling of guilt or shame? You can, if you're pure. Psalms 24, and verse 3 through 5, and if the music would come, I'm going to close. I appreciate your patience tonight. The Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to make it into His presence? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalms 119:9. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And here's the good news, young people. Believe me, if I was here to beat you over the head tonight with a wiffle ball bat, that's not the point. If you feel like I'm hitting you tonight, I'm not. Because here's the good part right here, okay? My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I am so far from perfect, and you all know that. So far. I made mistakes when I was a teenager. Choices that, oh, if I could go back. Hallelujah. If I could go back. But I can't. And neither can you. But I realized one day, in spite of me, God loved me. Tonight's message is tied into this morning's message. God loves you. And if you're struggling and you're being tempted and you're battling and you feel like you're up against a wall and you're in a pit, God loves you tonight. Maybe earlier this year you made a mistake at school and your testimony or your name has been hindered. God can start to make it right again tomorrow. Tomorrow. First period class, God's going to start making that name right again. Young ladies, maybe. Oh, and I pray not. Oh, Jesus. Maybe an attack on your purity has left you feeling like there's not a place with God anymore for you. The Bible said, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And though our sins be red as scarlet, He shall make them white as snow. Although they be red like crimson, they shall become white as wool. He taught us today. I'm able to take what has been broken and to make it like new. I am able to mend your broken heart and to make you a new creature in Christ. I am able to forgive your sin, for there is no sin that I am not able to cleanse. I can wash you and make you like new. I will create in you a clean heart, saith the Lord. If you will but come unto me, I will transform you. I will make you one of my own. I have not refused you, saith the Lord, but your sin hinders me from working in your life. But if you will come to this altar, and if you will seek my face, saith the Lord, I will begin a work in you tonight, that everyone will be able to see I am at work, and that my hand is moving in your life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your word, Jesus. Oh, God. Young man, if you're here tonight and you have fallen and you have looked at those pictures or you've sent those texts, tonight God is able to forgive you if you will come and humble yourself before Him. To confess your need of Him, God is able to forgive you. Amen. Church, let's stand across the house. The Lord is speaking tonight. Here's what I want us to do. Roadies, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to... Oh, Sister Sarah, I love you so much. But we see in some of you that there are battles going on in your life. And there are trials and temptations that you're facing. And it's not fair that you're having to face them, but you're facing them. Tonight what I want us to do is I want all of our young men, I'm not going to call out individually, I want all of our young men, I want you to come up here, I want you to kneel and find a place to pray, and I want all of our young ladies over here, moms, dads, grandparents, those who might not have any young people at all in our church, but you love these kids. Would you gather around them tonight? Can we lift them up before the Lord and help pray that God would put a shield around them? And young people, that God would purify us and sanctify our hearts, our minds, our motives, our desires, everything. Let's come. Come on, young people. I want you to come first. I want all of our young men on this side. Let's kneel or stand if you like. It's up to you. Young ladies, on this side. Oh, God. Oh, God, you're speaking. You're working. If we could have some more of our young men come down here. Oh, Jesus.